Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Friday. We are live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, Blazing Five Picks. We were 500 last week. 2 wins, 2 losses, 1 push. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Friday. Week has flown by. I saw the weather report around the country this morning. Eric Mangini's in a snowstorm, worst in 10 years in Cleveland. I'm very fortunate to be living here.
Yeah, I know. My sister posted a little Instagram story of the snow in Pittsburgh. It's crazy.
It is nuts right now.
I mean, I used to grow up in that, and now I'm like, I can't do that every day.
Yeah, I met a friend last night of somebody I hadn't seen in 20 years, and we were talking about that. As you get older, you get more weather cranky.
Oh, yeah. Just
when you're a kid, you don't even care. You don't college. I don't even remember it now.
You never thought about it. No, every time I would call my grandmother, rest in peace, she would love to talk about the weather. It's all she wanted to talk about. It's cold. It's warm. It's snowing. It's raining.
Well, let's start our show with this. Though we got a lot of football, but I do want to start with a basketball topic. So James Harden. Russell Westbrook, James Harden didn't work, and Westbrook gets moved on. Now it's John Wall. Story out this morning, and we talked about this briefly yesterday, and now Harden wants to play with John Wall. He preferred him the entire time. And so now James Harden has run through two head coaches, a general manager, Dwight Howard, Russell Westbrook, and Chris Paul. Has anybody considered that? In fact, the two best runs of James Harden's career, I don't think he's a one. I think he's a great scorer. The two best runs of his career, one was in the 2012 finals when he was a three to Westbrook and Harden. And then the other was a few years ago, Western Conference Finals, when Chris Paul essentially took over the team. Why are we, there has been nothing, no indication that James Harden is anything but a great scorer. And I like points, but I'm going to throw a couple things at you. In Wilt Chamberlain's highest 9 scoring seasons, 0 titles. In Michael Jordan's 3 highest scoring seasons, 0 titles. Just because you score doesn't make you a one. James Harden has shown us no indication he wants to be a one. Ones play defense. Ones have leadership skills. Ones elevate others. Ones get along with stars. It's not about points. I'll give you an example. Magic Johnson was a one. His career average is 19 points a game. He was never the best scorer on his team. It was always Kareem. By the way, Bill Russell was a one. He averaged 15.5 points a game. But it was his personality, his forcefulness, his willfulness, his defense, and elevating others. I'll give you another guy that's a one, and this may confuse you. Dwayne Wade was a one. IQ, alpha, leader, tough, respected. But not all ones are equal. So when he played with Shaq, D. Wade had the self-awareness to step back. And they had 2 ones. And when he played with LeBron, D-Wade stepped back, had the self-awareness that he was the second best one. Anthony Davis has never been a one. Anthony Davis is the world's most talented two. Being a one is availability. Anthony Davis is not always there. LeBron's always ready to play. It's availability. It's productivity. It's leadership. It's both ends. It's being verbal. James Harden is a scorer. That's it. By the way, loves scoring. But now he can't get along with Westbrook. He can't get with Chris Paul. It was Dwight Howard. It was the GM. It's two coaches. Now I want to play with John Wall. We do this all the time. We can, you know, most valuable player we confuse with best stats. That's not what it's called. It's most valuable player. Most valuable player in the NBA for 20 years now almost has been LeBron James. It was always Michael Jordan in every year. He was the most valuable player, and he was the most valuable guy for the league, for a franchise, for the branding, for his team. He didn't play, they didn't win titles. He did play, they did win titles. But, you know, I look around the NBA and we think, oh, points. Trae Young's going to score 1,000,000,000 points in Atlanta. Does that mean he's a one? No, it just means he's a talented scorer. And, you know, I look at the ones in my life. Magic was a one, Bill Russell was a one. D. Wade is a one. Larry Bird was a one. Michael was a one. LeBron's a one. But and I'll tell you something that's happened in the NBA, and I think it's hard for general managers. The AAU-ization of basketball over the last 20 years. Everybody's friends with everybody. Everybody gets along with everybody. Everybody's got everybody's back. What you get is very few people who are kind of old school and willing to be hated. The late Kobe Bryant are going to kind of force their own way. Shaq, he'd move off teams. Shaq ran Shaq's business. The NBA didn't run Shaq. Shaq ran Shaq. Shaq was a one. He thought like a one. He played like a one. He was forceful like a one. He could score like a one. He could defend like a one. By the way, Kareem was a one. But then Kareem, when Magic came to town, realized this kid is more of an elevator of others and stepped aside. But I guess my point with Harden is, how many people has he got to run through before we acknowledge he's just the world's second best two to Anthony Davis? He showed no indication, no affinity for doing many of the things that count as a franchise guy. He just gives you 30 a night. Great, I'll take it. But I can't build a franchise around that. He and Anthony Davis are the world's greatest twos. They don't want to be leaders. I mean, there's a reason Anthony Davis and LeBron get along so well. Anthony's like, no, you deal with the media. You talk. You dominate the huddles. Anthony Davis told you, this is not my thing. You never felt New Orleans AD was a leader. You just thought he was a great player. All right, so now we get into football. So this weekend, there's an old saying in business that companies move off employees about a year before they tell employees. If your company is sort of over you, they're not going to give you a heads up. They're going to do subtle things, small things, and you'll kind of feel like, I'm getting hints here. Baker Mayfield's career, here it is this weekend. It's the biggest game of his career. Now, you would say to yourself, Cleveland's 8-3, everything's going well. Yeah, except when they played good teams like Pittsburgh, they were destroyed. Baltimore, they were destroyed. Raiders, they were manhandled. This weekend, they play Tennessee, and it is a precursor to the playoffs because Tennessee is the kind of team, the new GM in Cleveland and the new coach in Cleveland, they need to beat going forward. Tennessee is a very good team, but like every team in the playoffs except Kansas City, they're flawed, and the flaw is perfect for Baker Mayfield. They have no pass rush, and Tennessee's a terrible third down defense, meaning Baker's going to be comfortable. Cleveland will be able to run the football. Baker has to compete this weekend. He could lose in overtime. He could lose close. But if Baker Mayfield can't compete this weekend, what it's telling you is against the Pittsburghs and the Baltimores and the Tennessees and the Raiders, playoff-level teams, even with all this talent in Cleveland, even when the matchup is perfect, Titans really match up. This is a good matchup for Cleveland because Tennessee's got no pass rush and Baker is bad with pass rushes and they don't have one. 29th most sacks in the league. They got no pass rush. So Baker's going to sit in that pocket and be comfortable. And in fact, Ryan Tannehill will be more uncomfortable in the pocket because Myles Garrett's back for Cleveland and Tennessee's O-line's a little banged up. So this is going to be, and remember, if Cleveland wins this week, then they're going to be 9-3, probably a two-game wild card lead. It is a huge, this is the biggest Cleveland Brown game. It almost secures a playoff spot for Cleveland. This is the weekend. And the matchup, Tennessee is, everybody now loves Tennessee, but they're a very flawed football team. And the flaws work perfectly for Baker. He's going to have time to throw and a running game that works. They will make a decision privately on that flight back or somewhere during the week. If Baker gets rolled like he did against Pittsburgh or Baltimore or manhandled defensively like against the Raiders, they're moving off him. Greg Cosell earlier this week talked about the similarities with the Titans and the Browns. They're mirror images of each other. That's why Baker better be able to compete this weekend.
Baker Mayfield is still struggling. He's very inconsistent. You can see he plays very fast. There's a frenetic movement to him. But then he'll also make two or three throws a game that remind us all why he was the number one pick when he came out of Oklahoma.
So Buffalo is 8-3, but nobody questions, is the quarterback good enough? Cleveland is 8-3, and it is the question. Is the quarterback a liability? Baker, this weekend, shut me up. Shut America up. Shut your critics up. Attack Tennessee. You don't even have to beat Tennessee, but you better be around with 3 minutes to play. This is your career. This is it. No chatter, no talk, no commercials. This is it. These are the games. Tennessee, a precursor to the playoffs. This will be like a playoff game before the playoffs. By the way, here's another, just to throw this out, I wrote this down. I forgot this. And we were talking about James Harden. And again, I like scoring, but it can't just be scoring. In the last five decades in the NBA, you know how many scoring champions have won a title? Shaq once, and then MJ a few times. That's it. So again, I'm not banging on scoring, but I'm saying you can't just be a scorer.
Yeah, I would also say MJ played a significant amount of defense, and Shaq was a problem on the other end as well. So
right. You got to do more than just score. I'm not anti-score, but you got to do more than score. Coming up this weekend, there is a game that shouldn't, frankly, be that close. But actually, the better team is an underdog at home. The better team is an underdog at home. And it tells you all you need to know about the NFL and a move that underdog needs to make. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Want to stream what you love all in one place? Discovery Plus, a new streaming service. Real-life entertainment, brands you love, like the Food Network. And new original stuff, too. It starts in 2021, Discovery Plus. So the greatest sin in the NFL is having a great quarterback who has a lot of talent and you waste their talent. I think Detroit has wasted Matt Stafford's talent with some really weak coaches. I think Houston has wasted Deshaun Watson's talent. They don't have a GM or really a full-time coach right now. And that's a real sin in the NFL. But I guess you could say it's not the greatest sin because Stafford and Deshaun Watson are really expensive. And that does limit other things you can do in your roster. The single greatest sin is having a great young quarterback who you're paying nothing for and you're wasting him. And this weekend's a great example. I like Anthony Lynn. I've met him and I know him. And I do think he has some qualities, some alpha qualities where guys like to play for him. But this weekend's a great example. The Chargers are an underdog at home to the Patriots. The Chargers have the better quarterback, the better pass rush specialist, Joey Bosa, the better wide receiver, Keenan Allen, three highly graded tight ends. They're at home, and they're an underdog. Cam Newton has four touchdown passes this year. Justin Herbert had four in one game, and not against a stiff. He did it against the Saints. Okay, in baseball, analytics have devalued the manager. In basketball, Frank Vogel was fired twice. He gets LeBron, he wins a title. The star drives the bus. But football's the coaching sport. We've seen Bill Parcells turn around four teams overnight. We've seen Urban Meyer do it in college four times. If you look at the division leaders right now in the NFL, what a shock. Mike Tomlin, Pete Carroll, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, the highly respected young Sean McDermott. It's mostly great coaches. Many of the wild card spots are filled with really high-end coaches. Brian Flores appears to be really, really good. The Chargers cannot roll the dice with a coordinator here. You cannot be an underdog at home with Keenan Allen, Joey Bosa, Justin Herbert's talent, an underdog to the Patriots. By the way, what happens when you get a quarterback who's talented? On a rookie contract, Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl. Russell Wilson got to two. Mahomes got to one. Joe Flacco and Cam got to one. The Eagles actually got to one because they were paying Wentz nothing and Foles nothing. The sin in the NFL, you've got a great quarterback. He's young and you're not paying him anything. You do not roll the dice on coordinators. You got to go get a coach. Urban Meyer, Brian Kelly, Bill Belichick, whatevs. You got to get a coach because the Chargers should absolutely not be underdogs to the rebuilding Patriots this weekend, and they are. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Sam Darnold will likely be heading out of New York this season,
Yeah.
He's not lived up to the expectations the Jets had for him with the third overall pick in 2018, but Adam Gase is taking some of the blame for his development.
Oh.
I came here to help him develop his career, and, you know, we haven't been able to do that. We need to do things well, you know, around him. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's on me to get him to play better than what he's played. And, you know, right so far, I haven't done a good enough job.
Sam Darnold hasn't thrown a passing touchdown in his past 142 attempts, which is the longest active streak in the NFL.
That's not great.
If he doesn't throw for a touchdown within his first 8 attempts on Sunday, he'll be the only player in the last 5 seasons to go 150 straight attempts without a touchdown.
And he has regressed badly this year, so it's either Darnold, which is possible, or it's the surrounding elements of the Jets, which I think is more probable.
I think it's a mixture of a lot of things.
Yes.
He has been hurt a lot. It's not like Sam's been perfect, and he's in a situation that's just a disaster. Obviously, they don't have the players, or they wouldn't be in this situation. He doesn't play both sides of the ball, so it's not like they have this amazing defense who's able to keep them in games and the offense is blowing it. Like, they're not a great team. They're the worst team in the NFL by far, and we know that.
He's also very reckless, though. Some of these injuries are on Sam.
He's very reckless. They don't have a running game. He's holds onto the ball too long. He puts his body in bad situations. And Adam Gase has clearly lost the locker room. You can tell by the way that they play, the ridiculous amount of penalties. They're just completely undisciplined. It's a disaster in New York.
Yeah.
So I think it's similar to what's going on in Philly. Obviously, it's not the same level of disaster in Philadelphia as it is in New York. But I just think there's a mixture of a lot of things that are all playing into losses.
And also, Trevor Lawrence is going to be the beneficiary here because they appear to have a real general manager. They're going to get a pick for Sam Darnold in a trade. They got a ton of picks for the Jamal Adams trade, and the Jets draft was good last year. The good players are playing. So Trevor Lawrence is going to come into a much better situation, and because he's such a great prospect, he's going to attract more coaches. So Trevor's already better than Sam, but the next quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, it's a much better position to succeed than Darnold. And he's better than Darnold. But I think Sam's going to go to a team like the Colts or perhaps a backup to the Steelers, which I don't think is a terrible spot for him either for 2 years to kind of reboot his career.
I think he's going to end up in a great situation because there are some teams who are not going to be able to get a high draft pick who need someone like Sam Darnold, who obviously has the potential but needs to be in the right situation to see if he can level up to that. Now, if he gets a year and he can't do that, then maybe we're all wrong about him.
Yeah.
But I think if he goes to a more functional situation with better players around him, he will be able to succeed, and he will likely end up. If he ends up with the Colts, it's an amazing situation for him.
Yeah.
Even if Philip Rivers plays another year and he has to sit behind him.
Yeah.
That's a great situation for the Colts.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but he's going to end up in a good situation. I don't think that the Jets are as bad overall, to your point, as it seems to everyone.
No.
Like, they're a bad team right now, but they have a million draft picks. They're going to get Trevor Lawrence, who, similar to Joe Burrow, is going to come in and immediately elevate the team.
Yeah.
So Seahawks wide receiver Josh Gordon has been conditionally reinstated by the NFL for the final 2 weeks of the season. He'll be able to join the team on December 9th. And take part in team meetings and individual workouts if he passes COVID protocol and can return to practices on December 21st. He will then be eligible to play in the last 2 regular season games against the Rams and the 49ers.
I got to tell you, Joy, Seattle, between Carlos Dunlap, Jamal Adams being healthy, Josh Gordon and Chris Carson coming back, I'm not so sure this isn't. This Seattle team is really interesting suddenly. Really, really talented suddenly.
I've liked Seattle all year. My question was the same as yours. Is the defense going to be able to hold up? It's not the same as it once was.
Looks
sometimes
good in the last 2 weeks.
Sometimes we get caught up in the idea of what a team is because of what they have been for so long and kind of forget that those players are not still there.
Right.
And those players make up the DNA of that team. So they've completely redone their defense.
Yeah.
They looked great.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I think this is a nice addition. I mean, they obviously aren't. This isn't a position that they're hurting at. But why not? Josh Gordon has amazing talent. If they can have him for the last two games of the season into the playoffs, it's a great situation
for them. Listen, we always know the worst month for Belichick has historically been September. So we know what you initially appear as, you don't necessarily end the year as. Well, like Belichick is 69, Pete Carroll 69. These veteran NFL coaches do a good job to change certain narratives and truths. I think Seattle has done the best job in the league at finding a weakness and not only kind of bondoing it and band-aiding it, literally solved it. They have the most sacks in the league in the last month, five more than second place. So like Seattle's issue is not only no longer an issue, it has become kind of a strength over the last month.
And that's all we could talk about with them is like, how are they
had no pass rush.
Able to get to the
quarterback. By the way, Tennessee never has one and they haven't solved it. They still don't have one.
So this final story drives me crazy. So the Bucks suffered another early playoff exit this season, coming up short of their NBA title aspirations and expectations. And coach Mike Budenholzer is not looking at this year as an all or nothing season. He said, to think that a season is a championship or bust is certainly not the way we've approached it. We embrace the opportunity and we want to be that last team standing. But the phrase is just something that doesn't resonate with me or I think our group.
Well, Giannis is young, but I do think I would say this. There is a sense around the league of a more urgency. Let's get to a finals.
I like Mike Budenholzer a lot, and I think they have a great culture there, and he's obviously a great coach. 116-39 with the Bucks in the regular season, 15-10 in the postseason, but they lost to the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then they lost to the Heat in the second round in the bubble. Here's my problem with it, because this is what Mike D'Antoni used to do a lot of. It's not a championship or bust season. It's not a lost season if we don't win a championship. Okay, well then I don't want to hear about you guys are championship contenders then. Because that's really not the expectations that you have. There's a reason why the Patriots are in the playoff conversation and Super Bowl conversation every year. That's the expectation. There's a reason why if the Steelers don't win a Super Bowl, everyone in the city is pissed. That's the expectation. There's a reason why Pat Riley loses his mind when the Heat are not competitive or making it to the finals or winning a championship. That's the expectation. We're not like here hanging out. This isn't like summer camp. We're like learning the fundamentals of the game. Sure, you're going to be consistently good, but are you going to win a championship? No. There's a championship mentality. There's an intangible to having that kind of urgency.
Yeah.
Like Paul George said it. This wasn't a championship or bust season. Yeah, it was. Yes, it absolutely was.
Nobody really wants to. There are certain things that may be true, but you just shouldn't say publicly. And one of them isn't, I've got the second, third best player in the league, and it's not championship or bust. When you went out and got Drew Holiday because you're afraid the guy's going to leave. Like,
if he doesn't sign, he has until December 21st to sign a Supermax extension.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
December. So just we're 2 weeks away from knowing.
I mean, not knowing, but like, it's going to be all within his control. But yeah, basically, like, if he signs a Supermax, he's going to stay there.
All right.
But I mean, I don't know. I just think he is a great coach, and maybe this is the mentality there, but as a fan, I would not want to hear that. It's absolutely championship or bust.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I saw this morning. I'm going to talk about this later. Alabama is a 29-point favorite over LSU. 1 year ago, the media told me Ed Orgeron is a great coach. 1 year later, he's a 30-point dog to Bama. Ed Orgeron was a great story. Not a great coach. Let's go to Doug Gottlieb, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. All Ball, his podcast, by the way. You know, I was saying this, Doug, is that, listen, scoring matters. But in Wilt's 9 greatest scoring years, no titles. In Michael's 3 greatest, no titles. In that, Magic wasn't a great scorer, but he's a 1. Bill Russell wasn't a great scorer, a 1. I always thought D. Wade had sort of the IQ, the toughness, the respect of other alpha males. He felt like a 1, even though with LeBron, he stepped back and said, okay, you're the better one. I look at James Harden and I'm like, okay, he scores. But Doug, I don't think he wants to be a leader. I never feel like, okay, this is a guy I can rely on. Is it possible James Harden is the world's best 2 and he's simply a great scorer, which this league has had 50 years of, but you don't really build a franchise around him?
I'll meet you in the middle.
he's not just a great scorer, he's a great passer. He's as good an offensive player as there is in the NBA, as there maybe ever has been in the NBA, and especially for how the NBA is played now, right? Yes, a lot of NBA basketball has a lot more ball movement than they have in Houston, but his ability to use the ball screen is second to none. His ability to, you know, create space off of mismatches, he hits threes, he gets to the foul line, he plays analytics basketball. He's unbelievable on offense. What he's not is he's not a champion. And you are in the NBA, in basketball, who your best player is.
Yeah.
And where I will meet you is, like, look, you can't not play defense. You can't be a non-defender and expect to win a championship. But, I mean, what is Houston to do? Right? They're not going to trade him. There's nothing you're going to get back in return that's going to put you anywhere in the mix. If the story is Westbrook for Wall, what does it do? Look, I still think Houston's really good. They're just not going to beat the Lakers. They're not going to beat the Clippers. Okay, and I think that Washington's going to fight for one of the bottom playoff spots in the NBA. And hopefully Westbrook's relationship with Scott Brooks can be good enough to get the best basketball out of him at this point in his career. And I think more than anything, these moves were made to keep the other stars happy, right? That Harden didn't like playing with Westbrook. Beal didn't like John Wall's work ethic. You switch guys and maybe those guys are happier and they stay for a long time, which kind of goes back into your Milwaukee story. I don't know if it makes them happier, but Drew Bledsoe is a massive upgrade over what they had with Eric Bledsoe last year.
So we saw this story this week. Joy and I were reading this, and it was kind of interesting. The Athletic did a good job. They showed you all these things that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard got. Like, they had personal trainers. Doesn't bother me. I think in this day and age, a lot of guys have their own trainers, whatever. That didn't bother me. Practice schedules, they dictated. Don't love it, but it is what it is. Media, they wouldn't talk to him until 40 minutes. Don't love that. LeBron's always available to the media. So when you read that story in The Athletic of all the special treatment they got as a former guy that was, you know, ran a team, what was a turnoff to you that you don't think plays in the room? And what is just, hey, it's their stars. You're going to give them some special stuff.
Look, there's a limit there, right? Like, you play in college and the best players get the best shoes. That's everybody at the start. Here's how it works in college basketball. Okay. Everybody at the start of the year gets the same like Nike team shoe. And you're like, yeah. And, you know, then the starters are like, they go to the manager like, yo, can I get some Gary Paytons? Can I get some gloves? Can I get some shoes that I like, some Jordans, whatever? And then the star gets basically anything they want. So star treatment is nothing new. But some of that, I think there's a couple flaws here. One, they came from different organizations. And so there's not the sweat equity, right? Like, if you come up through that organization, you become a star and you're like, hey, you know what? I'm from San Diego. I want to live there. But if you're coming in from Toronto and you've been in San Antonio and you want to live in San Diego, and people can say like, well, Kobe lived in Orange County. If the chopper didn't work from Orange County, you could still get there by car.
Right, right.
Okay? You cannot do San Diego to LA by car and hope to make it to a shoot around, let alone a game. You know, like, you just can't. So there's limits there to how much star treatment. I think that the biggest thing, though, is that the Clipper culture was supposedly one of the draws for Kawhi Leonard, right? It's that, man, they got a great culture. Tough. They play together. They're all about winning and doing the right things. And then you come in and this is a direct departure from that culture, which these are warning signs for Brooklyn. Right. Because the reason that Kyrie signed and brought Kevin Durant with him was the culture of how they played in Brooklyn. But that culture is not just on the basketball floor. It's off the basketball floor. So does it kill me? Does it really bother me? Like, no, I don't care. I don't care where you live. Show up and practice on time. I don't care where you live. As long as I don't care who you date. I don't care your sexual orientation. I don't care anything. Just show up at 7 o'clock at Staples Center, guard somebody, make big shots. And the problem was they didn't do those things. And they weren't a cohesive unit. The chemistry didn't get better. And then you have some other guys, the Lou Williamses, who wants to go get wings at a strip club when everybody else is on lockdown. You got, you know, Montrezl Harrell violating COVID stuff and showing up late to the bubble, some of these other guys. So their chemistry was a mess. I don't think that in and of itself, these are the reasons why, but it's part of what the cracks in the foundation for the Clippers and why they disintegrated before us when they were in the bubble.
So a football topic. I said I've always said I think Belichick could leave New England. Brady did, and we were kind of shocked. But he probably won't, but I think he could. I think most people are mobile. I think successful people have more options. I think teams would write a $15 million check for Belichick and just say, get out here. Come on, let's win. But let's talk Brady and Arians. Bruce is older. He tried broadcasting. He didn't love it. He's retired before. I can see Brady and Arians at the end of this thing. They stumble, they make the playoffs, they get routed in the playoffs, and Brady like, time out. I didn't come here for this. Get me Josh McDaniel. So I said this a week ago, and I said, I'm going to get crushed for this, but I don't think it's nuts. Your thoughts?
I don't think it's nuts at all. I think, though, some of this, I'm more surprised that people didn't see it coming. Here's the first rule you need to understand. 33% of NFL free agents are a hit. 33%. Okay, so go and look at all the quarterbacks that moved, and it was reasonable to think that even Tom Brady might be a failure when he left. There's a reason that guys are out on the market. There's all kinds of reasons. Okay, the second part is guys that leave New England, what generally happens, even to the stars, Richard Seymour, one good year and then off a cliff. Okay, so Belichick allowed him. They didn't move mountains to try and keep Tom Brady. They were like, look, we'd like to have you back, but you don't want to be here. Okay, former Belichick players generally have 1 year and then they fall off. Then you combined completely contrasting styles. And I talked to NFL people in the offseason, and then they thought, well, you know, they're smart football guys. I guess they'll figure it out. But they haven't. Bruce Arians wants to throw the ball downfield. And all Tom Brady wants to do is get rid of the football as quickly as possible. He doesn't want to get hit. And that's where his football IQ and his accuracy within 10 to 15 yards of the line of scrimmage, that's where it's at its peak. And they keep butting heads. And now Arians continues to air their dirty laundry. I'm sure Tom Brady's cool being called out in front of a room of 52 other men with Tampa Bay Buccaneer uniforms, not in front of the rest of the world. So, yeah, here's what I could see happening. Brady used Romo as a surrogate last week. There's no question in my mind. Like, you think Romo's just breaking down the tape and dissecting Tampa Bay's offense on his own immediately and calling it out? Of course not. And that's what these quarterbacks do. They're like politicians. Remember when Eli Manning got benched for Geno Smith? Eli didn't say a word, but his former teammates did. And you know what happened? The GM got fired. The coach got fired.
Right.
Eli was back as starting quarterback without saying a word. That's what they do. They kill you while you're sleeping. And that's what Tom Brady will do. Arians will retire and Josh McDaniels will be in there. And Tom Brady's like, I had nothing to do with it. Nothing. It's amazing what they're able to do.
So finally, we got a couple minutes here. So the Chargers are going to make a coaching move. And I said the biggest sin in the NFL is having a great quarterback like a Stafford, Deshaun Watson, great talent. And you feel like you wasted him. The bigger sin, though, is having a great young quarterback that is free and wasting him. And I like Anthony Lynn. But to me, okay, Chargers have to go out now. And to me, go big. Brian Kelly, Urban, Belichick, whatever it is. Do you think they have it in them? Because I think the sin in this league is you have a Herbert or a Burrow, and you're like, and for 4 years you pay them nothing, and you just go with coordinators and you go cheap. And I'm like, no. Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl when you didn't pay him anything. Flacco did. Cam did. So your thoughts on what they'll do with the Chargers?
I do think they're going to have to make move. I don't think they want to because Anthony Lynn is as good a man as there is leading an NFL team. And a lot of being a head coach, you know, I don't put all of the blame of the debacle of last week on him. Shane Steichen's inexperience as an offensive coordinator, that was a mess at the end of Buffalo. But it did embody that, like, look, there's a reason they lose all these close games.
Right.
But like, being an NFL head coach is about leading men, about organizing, and Anthony Lynn's good at it. They just lose too many close games. Here's the thing. People are going on old data with the Chargers in terms of them being cheap. They are absolutely not cheap. Okay. They paid Joey Bosa more than anybody had been paid. They paid Melvin Ingram before that. They were going to pay Keenan Allen. They're going to pay Hunter Henry, right? They're going to be able to pay all of these guys within reason. And they like to pay them early. And especially now, cause they have a quarterback on a rookie deal. They are not cheap. Okay. They don't need a new facility, but they're probably going to open a new training facility in LA just because they want to show everybody we're in LA and we got money to burn. Okay. So they're not cheap, but they are also very smart. They nearly hired Brian Flores instead of hiring Anthony Lynn. And they thought he needed a little bit more time to simmer. So I don't know who they're going to hire. I do think they'll try and get somebody who has a track record of success. But the cautionary tale is of getting rid of Shane Steichen, who I think has done a really good job. Remember, he was put in as the offensive coordinator midseason last year, and he's done a really good job. It's when you start to get different quarterback verbiage every year and a different offense every year. That's what happened to Alex Smith. Right, Alex Smith, I think seven coordinators his first 7 years. And shocker, once he had the same offense coordinator 2 years in a row, he played better football. So if it's me, I keep Steichen. Okay, I make an adjustment to the defensive staff. You get Derwin James back. You continue to build that offensive line, which of course has been just decimated by injuries. And I think the Chargers are a worst to first type of football team once you get a coach that understands how to teach them those little things are what keep you from winning games.
Doug Gottlieb, Dugger After Our Show, Fox Sports Radio, All Ball Podcast as well on iTunes. Good seeing you, bud.
Good to see you without a cigar in your mouth.
A guy can enjoy himself a little bit the other night. Just a little one, half a cigar. I was good in a Heineken. It's all good. The Dugger. Okay, coming up next, Blazing 5 top of the hour. Playoffs start today. Where are we at? Playoffs start today. Who plays who? Who do I like? That's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
The streaming service with everything you're into. It's called Discovery Plus. It's coming in 2021, U.S. only. Got shows you love, brands you love, like the Food Network, HDT, Discovery Channel, plus some exclusive originals, Discovery. Blazing 5, all those odds provided by Fox Bet, top of next hour. I feel great about my picks this week. Really like them. Have some underdogs this week. Like some underdogs this week. So 1 month ago today, exactly, and I do this usually two or three times as we go down the stretch. About every 3 weeks to 4 weeks, I'll do this on a show. And I did it 1 month ago as of this morning. That I take all the teams, if the playoffs were today, who would I like? Who ends up in the Super Bowl? I'm not going to predict the Super Bowl. I'll wait till Super Bowl week, but I'll tell you where. So let's start with the AFC. Here's the current AFC playoff matchups if they began today. The Colts would be at the Kansas City Chiefs. I think you know who I would like. Kansas City is, I think, the only team in the NFL that plays several different ways to win. Physical, finesse, in front, behind, I would take the Chiefs. The Dolphins at the Titans, I would take Tennessee. I think the Dolphins have been a great story. I do not think they're a great team, and right now, they're not sure who their quarterback is. It's been a wonderful year, but this is a baby step league. They get into the playoffs. They don't win a road playoff game. I take the Titans. Browns at the Bills. I just think Buffalo's a better football team. I also think Buffalo defensive coach Sean McDermott, they are very good situationally, defensively, and I think Allen's better than Baker, obviously. I would take Buffalo to win that game. They're a good home team. Then the Bills are at the Steelers. I'll pick an upset. I'll take the Bills over Pittsburgh. I think Buffalo does several things very well. I'm not sure what the Steelers do well, and now they're banged up. They're talented, but what can they lean on outside of sacks? Not much. Tennessee at Kansas City. Too many people are calling for an upset here. Kansas City is a better football team. They'll be at home. And the Titans, let's be honest, as much as I like them this year, they rolled the Colts last week. They also got blown out by Cincinnati. They can be a little hot and cold. I'd take Kansas City. Then it's Buffalo at Kansas City in the AFC Championship. I have no problem saying Kansas City wins and probably rolls here. Let's go to the NFC. Arizona's at Seattle. Kyler Murray's beat up. I think this is a coaching and a roster mismatch. I think with the addition of Carlos Dunlap, Jamal Adams healthy, now Josh Gordon, this Seattle roster's damn good. They're at home, experienced coach and quarterback. They win this game. Tampa Bay at Green Bay. I think it's a bad matchup for Tampa. I don't think this is a good matchup for Tampa for Green Bay. Tampa can be a physical team. Green Bay is not. I'll take the Bucs. And then I'll take the Rams, even though they go on the road to beat the New York Giants. I do think it's close. Defensive front for the Giants keeps it close, but I would take the Rams. What do we have after that? Buccaneers at the Saints. Saints win. Much like Tampa's a bad matchup for the Packers, Saints are a bad matchup for Tampa. Beat them three straight times. Rams go to Seattle. I'm going to take the more consistent Seahawks in this game. And by the way, it'll be close. Rams, Seahawks, there are defensive issues. Aaron Donald gives the Seahawks the offensive line issues. Rams, Seahawks will be a very close game. Jalen Ramsey matches up very well against DK Metcalf. It's a close game. I'll take Seattle at home in bad weather. Seahawks, Saints, I'll take Seattle. I think they're more explosive offensively. I think the Saints are an excellent football team with limitations over the top. That is what has hurt them in the playoffs last several years. I'll take Seattle narrowly on the road over the Saints. If we had non-COVID in a full stadium, I'd probably take the Saints. Kansas City, Seattle, the exact same Super Bowl I had 1 month ago on November 4th. I like Kansas City, Seattle in my Super Bowl today. Winner, I'll give you that on Super Bowl week. Chiefs, Seahawks, Super Bowl. We go to hour two, Blazing Five, and a good one coming up next.